Asia Expansion Explained. Der Podcast für innovative Unternehmen, die in Asiens Märkte expandieren möchten. Country Insights, Expertinnen-Know-how, Best Practice Cases und spannende Karriere-Talks für einen erfolgreichen Markteintritt.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zurück bei Asia Expansion Explained, der Podcast für österreichische Startups, die in asiatische Märkte internationalisieren möchten. Mein Name ist Lisa Stöger und ich bin Programmmanagerin des Global Incubator Network Austria. Und gemeinsam mit meinem Podcast-Co-Host Fabian Gems, Geschäftsführer von Gems Solutions, tauchen wir ein in die GIN-Zielregionen und geben euch wichtige Tipps und spannende Insights für eure Expansionsstrategie. Wir sind bereits bei der achten und leider auch schon wieder bei der letzten Folge der Podcast-Serie zur GIN-Zielregion Singapur angelangt. Aber auch die Singapur-Serie schließen wir mit einem GIN Go Asia Startup ab, das von seiner Expansionsreise berichten wird und euch mit Tipps, aber auch Lessons Learned versorgen wird. Und danach geht es weiter mit der letzten GIN-Zielregion Israel. Und damit sind wir dann auch schon bei der letzten Podcast-Länderserie hier bei Asia Expansion Explained angelangt. Kannst du das glauben, Fabian?
Ja, eigentlich nicht, liebe Lisa. Vor circa einem Jahr haben wir die erste Podcast-Folge aufgenommen und schon sind wir fast wieder am Ende angelangt. Aber wie es mit Asia Expansion Explained weitergeht und was nach der Länderserie Israel passiert, das verraten wir euch danach. Also bleibt gespannt. Und auch die heutige Folge wird etwas Besonderes, richtig, Lisa?
Genau, unser heutiger Gast ist Australier, weshalb wir nachher ins Englische wechseln werden und die heutige Podcast-Folge somit in Englisch sein wird. Wir sprechen mit Digby Ross von Company, mit K und nicht mit C geschrieben. Company ist ein GoAsia-Alumni-Startup. Sie waren 2019 beim Go-Singapur-Programm dabei und haben 2020 noch das Fintech-Special Go-Hongkong and Singapore ebenso abgeschlossen. Digby ist der Business Developer Director für die Asia-Pacific-Region und betreut die neuen Fernmärkte in Asien, die sie erschließen. Derzeit lebt Digby in Sydney, nachdem er zuvor in Singapur, Peking, Shanghai und Hongkong gelebt und gearbeitet hat. Digby kam 2018 vor 3 Jahren also zu Company, davor war er fast 2 Jahre lang für den größten Konkurrenten von Company tätig. Digby hat einen Bachelor-Abschluss in Finance and Accounting und einen Master-Abschluss in Marketing. Er ist ein Certified Practicing Accountant, ein Chartered Management Accountant und ein Chartered Marketer. Mit dieser Kombination von Fähigkeiten und Erfahrungen vertreibt Digby die weltweit führende Technologie von Company an die Finanzdienstleistungsbranche und andere Sektoren und unterstützt außerdem die kontinuierliche Verbesserung und Weiterentwicklung der Produkte und Dienstleistungen von Company für die Asia-Pacific-Region. Wir freuen uns auf seine Einblicke und Erfahrungsberichte. So, let's switch to English and welcome to our podcast. Hello and welcome to our podcast, Digby. Thank you very much for your time today. It's good to have you here. And before we start in today's topic, I'd like to ask you to introduce you to all our listeners today and what you're doing and what is your company doing?
Well, thank you, Lisa, for the kind introduction. Great to be talking to you and to everyone today. Company with a K is the leading regulatory technology or RegTech platform for global business verification and business KYC. KYC is Know Your Customer or Know Your Business. We were founded in 2012. We're headquartered in Vienna. We have people as well in the UK and the US in New York, as well as myself covering the Asia Pacific region. We're quite international. We have many nationalities working for us. And in fact, our co-founders are Russell Perry, who's half Austrian, half American, and Peter Bainbridge Clayton, who's from the UK. In Austria, we're actually licensed by government as an official clearinghouse for the Furman Book. And we work, just to give you a very quick overview of what we do, fundamentally, we try to connect to as many official government registers of companies around the world as we possibly can. And the primary users of our service are mostly banks, but also other industries such as insurance or accountants, law firms, And these industries are using our service to onboard new business customers. So when a bank onboards a new business customer, they have to do their KYC or know your customer. And they have to identify who is the ultimate beneficial owner, the shareholders and the directors that actually own and control that business that the bank is taking on as a customer. And this is for so that they can comply with various anti-money laundering, counter-terrorist financing regulations around the world. So we, with our service, are helping them to do that better and to do that in a more efficient and audit-proof way than they are doing currently.
Okay, thank you very much, Digby. I suggest that we start in today's episode, which is about how to succeed as a foreign entrepreneur on the Singaporean market. Digby, your company is a Go Asia alumni startup and you participated in our Go Singapore programs. And maybe just right at the beginning, could you tell us something about your expansion journey in general and what were the most important milestones?
Yes, thanks for the question. We obviously are an Austrian company, although we do have our connections with the UK. So I guess right from the beginning, we were already kind of an Austrian and UK company from the beginning. I guess the way that we first got into Asia and got into Singapore was probably somewhat opportunistic on the part of our co-founder, Russell. I was actually at the time already based in Singapore and had previously been working for company's main competitor. When finishing up with the competitor, I got in touch with Russell and various others at company, and we decided to work together. To cut a long story short, for various personal reasons, I had to actually go back to Australia not too long after that. So when the opportunity came up with the Go Singapore program, that was a great chance for me to go back to Singapore and to kind of reconnect with people that I knew there already, reconnect with people as well with the assistance of the Austrian government. So the Advantage Austria office in Singapore was absolutely fantastic throughout that program with David Buckman and Raman Musavi. Fantastic in terms of setting up various meetings. It was great to be on the ground, back on the ground in Singapore. The 2 months that we spent on the Go Singapore program also coincided with the Singapore FinTech Festival, which is the largest financial technology convention in the world, or at least it was while we still had in-person events. So it was a really good kind of relaunch in a way, and I guess a more formal, a more well-constructed exploration of the Singapore market and what potentially we needed to do to formally establish an office in Singapore. So part of the program also included various workshops on accounting, legal, and I believe as a result of that, we did actually make that decision to open a Singapore office in 2020.
Great, Digby, that's a very great overview. If I may ask you a question, given your perspective, being quite familiar with Asia Pacific, what makes Singapore for you stand out in that way? You said reconnect. How easy is it to connect? How easy is it to get open doors? What's your experience? You worked there before, then again through the Chin program, you were able to go there as well. So what makes it for you a unique place to do business and with a lot of opportunities? Because I guess otherwise you wouldn't have been there in the first place and also not going there again with the Chin program.
Absolutely. And during my career, I've also worked in China and Hong Kong before moving to Singapore. So I've had the benefit of being able to see various different locations throughout the Asia Pacific region and the suitability of each. I think for a company coming into the region for the first time, the two most obvious choices are always going to be Singapore and Hong Kong. Both have their advantages and disadvantages. There are probably other places that companies do consider, places like Kuala Lumpur and Bangkok and Tokyo, but they also have their own different types of challenges. In terms of a foreign company coming in, Singapore is probably the easiest culturally to come into and acclimatize to. But it also as well depends on what the focus is going to be within Asia itself. I always see Singapore as being a place, if you really want your market to be Australia, New Zealand, Japan, India, China, if that's your region, as well as Southeast Asia, if that's your region, then Singapore is probably the right place to be. Maybe Kuala Lumpur, maybe Bangkok. If your focus is really mainland China, then it makes more sense to probably start in Hong Kong. That's probably the primary difference. There are kind of other, as I say, pros and cons to Singapore and Hong Kong. But really, if your region is all of Asia, plus Australia and New Zealand, Singapore should always be the first choice.
Okay, so this already leads me to maybe a follow-up question. But why is Singapore the first choice if you want to expand to the Asian markets in general? How does Singapore differ from the other Asian markets?
Yeah, look, Singapore culturally is the easiest. It is probably the most westernized. English is spoken throughout the entire population. The legal system is reasonably friendly. It's based on British law, so that the legal system works very well. It's very fair, very low corruption in Singapore as well. So they do have their rules. They have a lot of rules, but at least you know that the rules will be enforced and will be enforced fairly. So it does create a very good, easy business environment to be able to just drop yourself into. Also a very strong expatriate community there. So pretty much every country on the planet you'll be able to find in Singapore. So, and that of course includes the Austrian community. So there's a good, strong Austrian community. While we did the Go Singapore program, there was a couple of events that were organized by the Austrian business community. I think I was there when it was Austrian National Day, so there was quite a large event for Austrian National Day, and there was probably a few hundred Austrians in the room, as well as Singaporeans that did business with Austria as well. So it is an easy place culturally to go to quickly make friends, to be able to communicate, to be able to easily get around the city. It's a great, at least before the coronavirus came along, it's a great central location within Asia. So within 2, 3, 4 hours of flying, you are most other places in Asia, except for Australia, which is a little bit further away. But it is nice and central. So there's a lot of great things going for Singapore.
I see. Do make definitely sense. Maybe when before we close the first chapter of the Singaporean market in general, what do you find exciting about the Singaporean market? Because you also have experience in working in other markets. So what is the most exciting in Singapore?
I think it's because it's so multicultural, because it's so centrally located within Asia. That for me is the most exciting aspect, because you've got within Singapore itself, you've got so many different cultures. You really feel like you are already in Asia. But at the same time, you've got many of the benefits that you are familiar with from being back at home. But yeah, like as I said previously, just to be able to so easily access as well the other markets that are located around Singapore, to me, makes that the most exciting place. Now, Asia generally is exciting. There's so many different exciting countries and cities, and each have their own, you know, things that make me excited when I go and visit. But if you kind of want lots of different stuff all in the one place and being able to use that as the springboard for the rest of Asia, then Singapore is probably the most exciting and most vibrant place in Asia.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for this thorough answer. So let's assume now we are an Austrian startup and we have no idea about Asia in general. We don't have that comparative knowledge that you bring to the table. And we now are slowly thinking about expanding to Asia and perhaps to Singapore specifically. From your experience, what is the preparatory steps you need to take before you embark on such an adventure?
As an Austrian startup, now that I've had the benefit of working with the Global Incubator Network, as well as with the Wirtschaftskammer Österreich and the Advantage Austria offices around Asia, I can honestly say they're all absolutely fantastic. I've had great enjoyment working with these various branches of Austrian government, all incredibly helpful and professional in how they work. So that's honestly the best place to start, is to talk to the experts from Austrian government who have experience in these markets. Beyond that, I'm sure that the various offices of Advantage Austria are able to introduce you to the various experts in the local market. That's certainly the experience we had going through the Go Singapore program. The Advantage Austria offices are very well networked in terms of both Austrian service providers who are located in these markets, as well as local service providers. So, yeah, this would be my recommendation. Start with the Global Incubator Network and the Advantage Austria offices around Asia.
Okay, thank you very much, Digby. Good to hear that we are able to basically bridge the Austrian startup ecosystem with the Asian startup ecosystems and to support the Austrian startups in exactly those first steps. As you said that also our cooperation partner, Advantage Austria, is helping you with connecting you to the right people, is finding the right people in new markets, especially in Asia, something that is very important for the expansion? And is this something you need help on? So is this something that might be difficult in comparison to other markets, like in Europe or US market?
Yeah, definitely. Look, one thing about Asia is, unlike Europe, which obviously has the European Union and there's quite a high degree of commonality amongst all of the countries and the legal systems and the tax systems throughout continental Europe, in Asia, it's completely different. It's completely different. You've got so many different political systems around the region. You've got so many different legal systems. As a result, you've got different taxation regimes in each different location. So you need to consider not only the tax and legal system in Singapore, but then also in the other countries beyond. So at some point, yes, you're going to have to engage local accountants or company secretary to help you set up a company, local law firms to advise you on the best structure, tax consultants to be able to advise you on that aspect as well, because it is as a region, a lot more complex than the European Union. And you need to do that at an earlier stage as well, because you also need to consider whether, for these various legal and tax reasons, that Singapore is in fact the best choice, because you might find that where you want to be and what you want to do, that somewhere else, like maybe Hong Kong, might also be suitable. So unless you've got your heart set on one market in particular, do keep your mind open in terms of the location. But it is important to do that research in terms of legal structures and tax and all of these things.
Thank you, Digby. Staying with partners and also given your experience in founding an office in Singapore, what do you think, how important is it to have a local presence, in particular when it comes to the Singaporean market?
Yes, well, look, generally speaking around Asia, there is a greater importance, I think, on having a local presence, being there, building those relationships on the ground with people. That it's something that's rooted quite deeply in most cultures around Asia. So it is important to visit and meet the people in person and also spend time with people socially where possible as well. I think to be able to demonstrate an understanding and an interest and an affinity with the local culture is something that will really help to endear yourself to the local people and then they'll remember you. So I've been stuck in Australia now for a while. I haven't been able to get back to Singapore, but because I did spend quite a lot of time on the ground in Singapore, including during the Go Singapore program, a lot of those relationships that I've built and people that I met and things that I did together with those people, they remember that. So when it comes to asking for a favor or wanting to negotiate, do some business with a potential partner, that is all remembered. On that point, in terms of local partners in Singapore, one thing that the Singaporeans are particularly proud of and have a particular fondness for is the food. Great food in Singapore. And if you have a chance to go out and go for a meal with a Singaporean and are able to enjoy the food with them, that's something that they really enjoy doing. And if you're loving their food, then they'll be very happy with that.
Beautiful. We have it in some other markets in Asia as well, where it might be wise to bring somebody who can drink a lot or be able to absorb some alcohol over the course of the night. What's your experience regarding Singapore? Is this something as well that builds relationships without going, of course, so far that somebody is incapable of formulating any straight sentence afterwards? But I think a very great point is the food, how this connects, in particular in Singapore, also, of course, in other Asian markets. But what about this old trait in some markets about consumption of alcohol among new business partners?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say that kind of heavy drinking culture is probably more of a North Asian thing. So that seems to be more prevalent in Japan, Korea, mainland China with the big banquet and the various rounds of toasts with various interesting Chinese liqueurs and spirits. But in Singapore, because it's more westernized, it's really more of a westernized nightlife and bar culture. So it's going out for drinks with Singaporeans is going to be more like going out for drinks with people in Austria or Germany or the UK or America. You'll find it quite normal in this sense. There won't be that pressure to go through the rounds of heavy drinking as there is in some other places further north in Asia.
Also, when we stick a little bit further on this food topic and going out with business partners for lunch or dinner, is this also the best venue to negotiate and communicate with your business partners?
It's certainly a good venue to communicate. I don't know if it's the best venue to negotiate, particularly if you're, it depends if you like your spicy food, but the Singaporean food can be very spicy. So if you're sitting out there in the open air, it is quite hot in Singapore and you're struggling with the spicy food, that might not be the best environment for a negotiation. But certainly to build that relationship, as I said before, to show an interest in the food and the culture, joke a little bit over lunch, that all helps. But the negotiation should come later, in my opinion.
I see. And what was your experience? How to negotiate properly?
Yeah, look, Singaporeans are, it is quite westernized. They do have the benefit of the British legal system. So it is quite similar to what most of the listeners would be familiar with in terms of being based around contracts, and because the English is the first language or very widely spoken, it will be relatively easy compared to other parts of Asia to have a contractual discussion. They'll go through all of the terms. There'll probably be some points, but everything's quite clear with the contracts. There's a good legal system, so those contracts will be respected. It's quite different to other places, like, for example, Japan, Korea, where you might have language issues. It's quite different to places like mainland China, where contracts can often be a lot vaguer and more open to interpretation. A contract in Singapore will be very much like you're familiar with in Europe, and the negotiation will be pretty easy because everyone speaks a high degree of English. So you should have no real problems with that negotiation aspect.
Great. You brought up a topic, contract. What if something goes south? First of all, I think what we have learned through you and through the other expert speakers is that there is a system in place in Singapore, which is very business friendly, where the contracts, as well as the legal system, is something that you can build on without, of course, putting a complete blind spot to whatever is happening in Singapore. I mean, that's nowhere a good thing to do. From your experience living and working in Singapore, where can I turn to if I have problems, or have you already encountered some, or could you tell us maybe as well, have you encountered some red flags if there's not yet some real problems that you could maybe share with our audience as well?
Yeah, Singapore's, I guess, pretty easy in this respect compared to other places in Asia. Because of the British legal system, Singaporean law has built its foundation on. And look, fortunately, I haven't had to ever go through a legal process like this in Singapore, but I would trust the legal system in Singapore, both the local courts as well as the international arbitration options that they have in Singapore. So sometimes in contracts, it might be a good idea to just put the international arbitration that Singapore offers rather than Singaporean law. That should be effective. But if I did have a contractual dispute in Singapore, I would trust the local legal system. I think just one comment, it's just important, I think, always to stay respectful, though, because the last thing that you want to do is be offending the local people or in some way, you know, violating some other law in Singapore. It is a country with a lot of laws, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations. They do have a number of cultures there as well. They've got Chinese culture, Indian, Malay. Just make sure at all times you're always respectful, because if you insult someone, then that could count against you later in the process. So just trust the legal system, stay respectful, and you should have every chance of success if you have to go through a legal process in Singapore.
Definitely a good tip for everyone who plans to expand to Singapore. Digby, in your market entry in Singapore, what was difficult, or is that something you would do different now?
No, I don't think we'd do anything different. Unfortunately, in our case, the situation we're in now is basically due to circumstances beyond our control, namely, of course, the coronavirus. So we were in the process of planning to set up a Singapore office in 2020 before the pandemic came along, and then the pandemic kind of forced a rethink. So we're still basically in a holding pattern and still very much considering Singapore as being the front runner for when we do open a physical office in the Asia Pacific region. There are various other contenders like, you know, maybe Hong Kong, Tokyo, other places as well, even Sydney, where I am now. But Singapore still remains the favorite. There isn't anything that we would do differently. I was very happy with the process that we'd gone through and where we were at in terms of about to open a Singapore office before the pandemic came along. I think you started to ask about potential challenges might be there in Singapore. I know I've made it sound like a relatively easy place to do business, which it is for the most part. If there is a challenge with Singapore, it is that it is quite bureaucratic. It seems that basically local, like in terms of just how the process of setting up a company is set down, it will initially strike you that there's a lot of red tape that you have to go through. You might at times feel like that there is a little bit kind of a favoritism or preference for local businesses in Singapore. The Singapore government does seem to be somewhat protective of local businesses and local industries compared to, let's say, somewhere like Hong Kong, which I would say is perhaps slightly more open, slightly more of an equal playing field for a foreign company coming in, trying to set up. But I think that's really, it's a feeling that you get in the early stages with Singapore. I think once you've got a company established and once you've started to build your own relationships locally, then it's totally a fair playing field. It's just something that you might notice when you first come to set up in Singapore. It might seem like there's a lot of rules that are making it a little more difficult for a foreigner to get into that market. But once you're in, it's a fair playing field.
Great. Lisa, before we come to the obligatory or already notorious last question, there's one more thing that I would like to dig in, Digby, because as you said, you're now, let's put it, stuck in Australia. I think there's worse places to be stuck in than in Australia. But what is your success? What has been your strategy and your action plan within this pandemic? How to run a business successfully wherever you are? Or what's your approach on entire topic, COVID and how to do business? Because I think there's also something in your personal case is quite tangible to our audience as well.
Yeah, we're quite fortunate with the business that we're in company that we're basically a digital business. We are part of that wave, that trend that's moving from face-to-face contact to a purely digital interaction. So the pandemic, generally speaking, has been, I wouldn't say positive, but it certainly has not been negative for our business. Whereas in the past, if a business wants to open up a bank account, they would go into the branch. Now they don't have to do that because we are helping to automate that process of a business opening up a bank account remotely, entirely digitally. So generally, the pandemic has been positive for us. The reality was, you know, even though we were working down a path towards opening up a Singapore office, my role, my responsibility with Asia Pacific covers the entire region. So wherever I'm sitting, I'm always going to be working remotely to all of the other markets that we have to look at. So in some ways, it doesn't really matter where I'm sitting as long as, you know, I'm kind of connect and talking to people every day from wherever I'm sitting. So it hasn't been bad for us. Where the downside of being, you know, stuck in Australia, and as you say, there's probably worse places to be, it does kind of hurt that relationship building aspect that I talked about earlier, to be able to just go there. I mean, even though I don't need to go there in a business sense, but to be able to just go there, meet people face to face, make a few friends, have some coffees, have some lunch, you know, have a few drinks, you know, whatever it is that you like to do on your business trips, that human element of doing business has obviously been taken away from us temporarily. So I hope it comes back soon. For the time being, everyone's very sympathetic because most countries in this region are quite closed at the moment. I would say around the Asia Pacific region, the rules for entry into various countries are much tighter than they are in the European Union or the US. So no one's really traveling anywhere much around Asia at the moment. So people are quite sympathetic. But when it does start to reopen here, then I do look forward to getting back on a plane and connecting and reconnecting with people once again face to face.
Good to hear that you were still able to connect and build relationships, though we are still in the pandemic. But as you said, it is possible remotely, but nonetheless, people are probably also looking forward to connect in person and do business in person. Digby, Fabian already mentioned it. We have an obligatory question for all our guest speakers at the end of each episode. And this question is, what is your personal success tip for the audience or Austrian companies looking to expand to Singapore?
When you can, you need to visit Asia again. It is a place that relies very much on the relationship building. It's very important to show an interest in the local culture. It's something that I've always done I've made a point of in my years working in Asia. If I take a business trip, I'm not taking a business trip Monday to Friday. I'll take in a weekend as well. And I take in the weekend either before or after just to get to know the country, travel a little bit, understand a bit of the history, the culture, the food. Because when you then talk to people and show that you've taken this extra step to understand their country, their culture, their history, who they are, that really helps you to endear yourself to the local population. So they'll remember you. You're the guy who, or lady who just took that weekend off and climbed a mountain or went and did something, you know, off the beaten track, as we say, to really get to know the country. People remember that and they appreciate that, particularly because in a lot of places in Asia, not Singapore, language may be a little bit of a barrier, but they'll see that you have taken the effort to get to know their country a little bit. So it's those soft touches in Asia, I think, that make the difference. With that foundation, then you can start talking business and negotiating your contracts or whatever, but show an interest in the country and the culture and the people, and the rest will follow from there.
Great. I think there's nothing more to add, Lisa. What do you think?
There's nothing more to add. No, thank you very much, Digby.
You are most welcome, and always a pleasure to talk to you, Lisa, and my friends at the Global Incubator Network. Fabian, great to talk to you as well. Thank you both.
Thank you very much. Stay safe, and hopefully we can all go back to traveling soon. Thank you.
Let's hope so. Thank you.
Liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, wir sind schon wieder am Ende unserer heutigen Folge angelangt. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr auch nächste Woche wieder mit dabei seid bei Asia Expansion Explained.
Das war Asia Expansion Explained, Ihr Podcast für eure Internationalisierung nach Asien. Ihr habt Fragen, Anregungen, Wünsche? Dann schreibt uns unter podcast@gin-austria.com. Weitere Infos zu den Startup-Services von Global Incubator Network Austria findet ihr auf gin-austria.com. Ready for the next steps? Go big, go global, go Asia. Dieser Podcast ist eine Kooperation zwischen GEM Solutions und dem Global Incubator Network Austria, ein Förderungsprogramm des Austria Wirtschaftsservice und der Österreichischen Forschungsförderungsgesellschaft.